Okay, for those listening to the recording, we've already done the prayers and everything like that, but we had some issues, so we had a reboot, and we're back. Question number five is where we left off last week, and the question is Brother Gorin here today, by the way? I don't know, it's kind of hard to tell. I got to go down the alphabet here. Yep, he's here. All right, so how do we show our love for God? And it says in John chapter 14, verse 15, now this is pretty blunt. If you love me, keep my commandments. Can't get any plainer than that. Yet for thousands, yeah, even though that's as plain as that is, like as plain as day. And by the way, when it says left this room, it doesn't mean they fell out. It means they went into the other chat room B. But if it says left the conference, they fell out. All right, so, and like I was saying, when the Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments in John 14, that's how the lost, well, it's easy to understand if you just look at it on the surface for what it is. It's just like with the prophecies. If you're not obedient to the Lord, you're not going to understand present-day prophecies. It's easy to do the studies and check out the three angels' message that the original SDA church put forth, and it'll sound like, somewhat of, like the preachers will sound like they know what they're talking about, but you know, for them to miss things like the 501c3, or for them to miss things like what just happened with the European Union and the United States, children of God that are obedient have been warning people about that for decades, but the SDA church or any other churches that claim to understand prophecy, like, for example, John Hagee, that guy doesn't understand prophecy to save his life, literally. He preaches everything from a seven-year trib to a secret rapture. And he missed the 501c3. He missed what's going on with the European Union and, you know, and the Ten Toes, or the Club of Rome, as it's called today. But Daniel called them the Ten Toes. Yep. And so with all this clarity for those that are obedient, we understand what Jesus was saying when he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And yet for thousands of years, Christians the world over seem to think the Ten Commandments were abolished at the cross. And yeah, amen, John. He literally put out a video and wrote a book denying that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Literally. He's got a book out and a video, a commercial pushing it, if you will. So, but still, if you look in the New Testament, we see every single one of the commandments are mentioned. And on my Law of God page, I have a chart wherein I show where, you know, you can find all the commandments mentioned, in, you know, and it says like in... for example, I'll just go through these quickly. In commandment number one, you're going to find it in Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. 1 John 5:21 and Acts 17:29 is where you're going to find commandment number two. 1 Timothy 6, verse 1 is where commandment number three is. Commandment number four can be found in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 4, 8, and 9. And by the way, one of the brothers, I think it was either Scott or Dennis, sent me a video of these Catholic priests, or reverends, as they're calling themselves, having this meeting about how you got to keep the Sabbath and using Hebrews chapter 4 to push it forward. How you got to keep a Sabbath day, but they specifically leave out verses 4, 5, and 6. Specifically verses 4 and 5, where it talks about the Sabbath is actually the seventh day. They take it all out of context and say it's Sunday. Then, of course, Matthew 19:19 is commandment number 5. Romans 13:9 is commandment number 6. Matthew 19:18 is, you know, commandment number 7. And commandment number 8 and 9 are both in Romans 13:9, and then number 10 is in Romans 7:7. And again, if you want this whole list, just go to my Law of God page on the website, and you'll see it. They're all listed right there. And as Christians who are truly seeking after God's own heart, as David did, you know, making him smile is what we're all about. If there is a way for us to let him know we love him, common sense tells us we'll do exactly that. John 14:15 is the way to let him know. This is how he told us, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you want to let him know how you love him, there you go. You can't, like I said earlier, you can't get any plainer than that. And but if you truly love him, you know, you're going to keep his commandments. And for those that believe Jesus abolished the law by using the following passage, let's look at that for a minute. Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 to 40. It says, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And here's the clincher. on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. They think, because Jesus said, this is now the new law. That, in other words, that's what they think. They think Jesus said that this is now, the Ten Commandments are abolished, now you only got two. But they're sadly mistaken. It's actually the law that was there at the start. What I mean is, if you look at the commandments, commandments number 1 through 4, you see how they deal with our relationship with the Lord, how we love Him and we show our love to Him. And then you look at commandments number 5 through 10, and it deals with our relationship with each other. So when He said the first commandment was to love the Lord, He was speaking of all four, the first four commandments on the first tablet. And when you love your neighbor as yourself, He's speaking of the last six, 5 through 10. And you can confirm this by seeing what He said in verse 40. He said, on these two commandments hang all the law. So again, you can, easily please the Lord by simply, if you want to love Him, that's how you do it. All right, so, wait, what's going on here now? Okay. WordPerfect is messing up, or Microsoft Word or whatever. Okay, a lot of weird things have been happening with my computer this week. But it's okay. Okay, where are we at now? Let's see. Okay, we're at 76 families. How are we doing for lag? Is it okay? I've noticed the dropout has slowed down somewhat. For those people that are falling in and out, I imagine they've gone into room B and it's a little more stable, because I don't see anybody leaving room B at all. No one's falling out in there at all. I just see people coming in and leaving the room, but none are falling out. Yeah, thanks, Marty. And so it's solid as a rock in there. And it's good here. See, what it is, I think it is, room A is set up for infinite number of people to come in, and that might be putting too much bandwidth. So I'm gonna try and make it room A 100 only. But what's going to happen if it's full? Is it going to automatically switch us? I'm going to try that this week. I'm going to make room A only one user, and I'm going to try to come in as a second user and see what happens. So anyway, question number 6. What is the evidence that we know God? Okay. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 says, and hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. And, of course, the study shares the following verse that confirmed this as truth, and it's 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, the next verse. Why he doesn't just, put them together is beyond me. But it says, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, it says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. It's not like the laws of the land. For example, in the United States of America, I think it's like 4,000 or 5,000 laws we have now. Our God, the creator of all that is seen and unseen, has 10. That's how perfect truth can be and how easy. There's no gray areas. But with mankind, you got gray areas all over the place. And I'm not even going to get into the tens of thousands of ordinances we have. Because every town, every city has these strange ordinances, too. And this is what always amazes me about Christians that read the Bible, by the way. They claim to love the Lord, and they claim to know His will, but they claim they don't have to keep His law. Satan has been very crafty in his deceptive ways, wherein first he was able to convince the leaders of the apostate churches to ignore God's basic requirements for obedience, and in so doing, he uses these wolves in sheep's clothing to lead the flock of the church into the arms of Satan and the eternal death that he offers. It's almost as if the churches preach Satan doesn't exist at all, or the doctrine of eternal damnation is a lie. It just doesn't exist. And the reason I say that is, these blinded followers of the blind seem to think there is no conspiracy against Jesus and His Word. It also amazes me how they can easily see the truth about the false flag attacks of, like, September 11th, but they cannot see the oldest false flag attack in history. It's exactly as Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 22. These so-called Christians are professing to be wise when, in fact, they are nothing more than fools. And I'm not saying that. Paul said it, okay? Because I know how dangerous it is to call someone a fool. The fact the Bible says that, to know Him or even to love Him, means you do so by keeping His law. But they can't seem to see the basic truths in that, because Satan has them blinded, so blinded by their sin. Okay. Let's go to number 7 here. We're just zipping through these today, aren't we? I think I'm going to be a little bit in number 7, though. And the question is, though, if you're new here, welcome. But if you wanted to read along with the notes, actually it's just the questions and the verses locations, because this is all I'm doing is I'm taking our Bible study for new members, or if you do the whole Bible study, it's for baptism, and or you can take it while you're being baptized and finish them afterwards, of course. But we insist on quite a few before baptism. And we're going through these, and we've been doing this for years now, and to just to see what the Lord has to say in regards to His Word. All you do is you click where it says Sabbath Day Study Notes on the top of the room. It'll jerk you down to the bottom or the second section on this web page. This chat room is embedded in a web page, so you won't leave if you click those links. You'll still be in the chat room. Don't worry about it. Okay, and I think I built most of the links. Like if a moderator puts a link in the chat room, it'll throw a new page. It won't knock you out of the room there either. So number 7. According to the words of Jesus, what are we to do with even the least of the commandments? And Matthew 5 verse 19 says, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men, so he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." And the study also shares Matthew 15, verses 17 and 18. And it says, "Think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not." And this is, how blunt do you get with this? But, of course, they ignore that too. But he says, "I have not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." And as an example to us, Jesus was careful to fulfill all righteousness, according to Matthew 3:15. So, amazing, isn't it? I mean, people from all walks of life who claim to be Christian assume it's perfectly okay to not only ignore His law, but they teach others to ignore it as well. They literally tell people that the law was abolished at the cross and teach them that they need not keep it. This is an exact, to-the-letter fulfillment of what Jesus said the lost would do. And yes, I said lost. So, many take the word least, by the way, too, in Matthew 5:19 to assume that those that break God's law are still going to be in heaven, but considered least in the kingdom of heaven. I remember this one Baptist preacher that I was working for. I was doing a computer programming for him, and this is what he took. Because, Baptists believe the once under grace, always under grace thing. And so he was convinced that the least here meant that, Hold on. Okay, I stopped that real quick. I hit the wrong link, and I almost left the room. But anyway, because the once under grace, always under grace, he literally tried to convince me that the people that break God's law after becoming Christians, because they say if you got saved, okay, you're guaranteed salvation for the rest of your life. I says, yeah, well, what if you commit murder after becoming a Christian? I mean, look what it says in Romans or here. There's 38. Well, there's a lot more than 38, but doing the street preaching thing, I used to try to get 2 to 3 to 4 verses to show a doctrine, right? Because Isaiah said, line upon line, precept upon precept when you're studying doctrine. And I had I stopped at 38 for that once under grace, always under grace theology. And he says, you'll still go to heaven if you murder somebody, but you'll be retarded for all eternity. Now, I'm assuming it's because he's taken Matthew 5 out of context here in regards to being called least in the kingdom of heaven. But the basic reality is if you break even the least of any commandment and then die without repentance, you will not be in heaven. Plus, to teach others to do the same is even more of an issue. But there's another way to see this doctrine confirmed. In Revelation 20, verse 6, it says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, since we all know that the Word of God says we will reign with Christ in heaven, to be called least in heaven would mean that person is not there. There are none in heaven that can be considered least because they are all reigning with Christ. When speaking of heaven, the Word also says in Revelation 21, verse 27, that there shall in no wise enter into it, and speaking of the city, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So again, to be called least in the kingdom of heaven is to be one that is not there, but is being used as an example as to why some never gained heaven. Because we're going to have work to do in heaven. Like, for example, if we're all just going to be going to New Jerusalem and that's it, this, you know, the theology that the Bible confirms is we're going to reign with Christ. So how can you reign over me? How can I reign over you? Because you're a king, I'm a king, you're a queen, that person's a queen. You know what I mean? And so how are we going to reign over each other unless we step out of the city to continue the work in all the other worlds that Paul spoke of? And so there you have it. And so, like, if we're on some other planet, let's say, talking to some people in some little village that we're going to spend 6 days with because we're going to go back to the city on the seventh day, you know, how are we going to speak of those people that didn't make it? Well, they're going to be called least. They're the ones that didn't make it. And the bottom line is this. Adam and Eve lost all of Eden for one transgression of his command. Yet preachers the world over state it's okay to break all his laws and still be considered worthy of Eden. Restored, of course, but still be considered worthy of it. We must keep all the law. In fact, we are to keep every jot and tittle, for he that offendeth in one point is guilty of all. And no, we are not called to do this alone. The Jews seem to think that they can keep the law without the aid of Christ's Holy Spirit. But those of us that love the Lord know better, because many of us tried to keep the law before coming to Christ. I know I did. I literally tried for years to clean up my act, and it wasn't until I let go and let God that I was able to keep his law. I know for a hardcore fact I cannot keep so much as the least of the laws without the author of that law and his spirit within me helping me every step of the way. There's just no other way. We're still on number 7, Elizabeth. We haven't gotten, I told you I was going to get a little wordy on this one. So, but anyway, everywhere we look, we find preachers, pastors, and teachers luring people to sleep by preaching all sorts of heretical security with their NLP sermons and prosperity messages. I mean, they speak with authority, and those that worship them in the pews believe every word, hook, line, and sinker. But we have a different work, brothers and sisters. We are not called to lure them to sleep. We are called to alarm them of their plight. That's why it's called a loud cry. They need to reform their lives and stop acting as if there is no truth in his word. Even if they were to deny his doctrinal lessons cover to cover, they certainly cannot deny all the prophetic fulfillments that declare he is near, even at the door. I mean, this is one of the reasons a lot of us, and I get the emails, I'm telling you, a lot of people are waking up. They don't even want to do the little tiny sins. They're asking, how do you stop from doing this and stop from doing that? And you know, pray for me, or, you know, and they're talking. It's amazing how there is actually a revival in God's people, you know. And so we need to be that bride that our Lord Jesus presents before the throne of his glory without so much as a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing. If you are one that wants to be among those who have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb so as to reflect the character of the Lord, then we must cease to do evil and learn to do well. Now, you're never going to stop sinning, of course, because the minute you stop the sins, like, for example, when you were a babe in Christ, we all know this. We did some whoppers. Okay, at least I did. And right after I became a Christian, those whopper sins, I loathed them after that point. I couldn't stand them, and they were easy to give up. You know, and they were whoppers, right? Now, 30 years later, walking with Christ, you know, and he reveals things to me as I'm, okay, you know, I haven't done certain sins for decades, let's say. But all of a sudden, he reveals to me one day, because now he knows I'm ready to hear it, and he tells me that thing that you've been doing, like that thing you've been saying, or that thing you've been thinking, or that thing you've been eating, or that thing you've been drinking, or whatever the case may be. He says, you know, because he'll reveal it to me in his word, okay, you shouldn't do that. And then, boom, you stop. You don't do that anymore. And then tomorrow, he'll show you something else that you've been doing. So don't think that you're going to become sinless, because that is one of those things that are prophesied to appear in our world. Because they're, you know, I get, like just the other day, I'm getting, you know, emails from people that think that they're gods on earth or something. I mean, they think you cannot. We have done sinning. We have never sinned anymore. We're not going to sin anymore. And says, okay, how many people have you raised from the dead? Have you been able to take flight yet? I mean, have you? It's ridiculous, because tomorrow they're going to be told by the Lord things, if they're obedient, that they are doing that they should stop. I mean, but still, the bottom line is we need to walk in the commandments and the ordinances of our God in blameless, you know, and the ordinances being, of course, I'm not talking about the ones that were abolished at the cross. It's more or less, maybe that's a bad word to use, is ordinances and stuff, but the fact of the matter is those little things that the Lord keeps on revealing to you. And that's why I mentioned the whoppers, because now, like a little white lie now, let's say if I did a little white lie right now, it would bother me for days. Literally. I would repent of it, I would confess it, but I might be apologizing to the Lord for 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe even a week worth of days, right? But before meeting Christ, I would do some real whoppers and wouldn't even think twice. Don't even think twice. And so, again, we need to be that bride that our Lord Jesus presents before the throne of His glory without so much as a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing. In other words, what He reveals to you is wrong to do, stop doing it, because tomorrow He's going to give you another rung on the ladder to step to. And that's the only way to please Him. You know, if you love Me, keep My commandments. And He wants to use us too. Because there's, you know, and this is one of the reasons a lot of us get an awful lot of trials and stuff like that, because we're all praying. For those of you that are new, one of the things that you're going to find in this gathering of Christians is that we're doing our best to strive onto that perfection that will make us part of that number, the Gideon band, the 144,000. And we know by study that even after the plagues of Revelation, when we can no longer die, because whoever's unjust is going to remain unjust, whoever's holy is going to remain holy. We know what it says in Revelation. We're still going to feel unworthy. We're going to still feel undone when that eastern sky splits, especially when that silence hits. You know, and so we're still going to feel like we're not worthy, because we're going to know how weak and utterly disgusting the flesh is. So, walk as best you can with Christ, and whenever He reveals things to you that you must stop, stop. And when you slip and fall, 1 John 1:9 says to confess and repent, because He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, as if you never did it. So praise His name for that. Let's see if I can do. No, this next one's going to really take me a long time to get through. Because question number 8's a whopper, and it's more or less, what did Isaiah prophesy that Jesus would do? And I'm going to go into that for. I mean, I'm using Strong's and everything in here, so that would put me over the time, and so I'll quit a little early here, because we had tech problems anyway, so I hope and pray that you were blessed. That was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.